You're listening to audio from the Cathedral Church of the Advent in Birmingham, Alabama, a church with a heart for the gospel. Find out more at adventbirmingham.org.
Give to us now, dear God, we ask, the glory of the light of your gospel, for what we preach is not ourselves, but Jesus Christ is Savior. Amen. For several weeks now, we have been in that part of John's gospel that is referred to as the Bread of Life discourse. And to be sure, it includes some challenging phrases like we have today. Truly, truly, I say to you, Jesus says, unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you have no life in you. Fortunately, Christ himself explained the deeper meaning behind these words in the other gospels when he instituted the Lord's Supper, saying, take, eat, this is my body, and drink this, all of you, for this is my blood of the new covenant, which is poured out for many for the forgiveness of sins. For the forgiveness of sins, that is why we eat of his body and drink of his blood. And according to John chapter 6, unless we do this, unless we inwardly digest the forgiveness Jesus offers, we have no life within us. So that's what this sermon is about. And to jump right into it, as far as the practical application to everyday life, wouldn't you agree that this is true? That if someone hasn't experienced forgiveness and is therefore living under a cloud of guilt and shame, then their life is burdened to the point that you could say there is no life within them, because guilt is a killer. Defining guilt here as that discrepancy between what ought to be and what actually is, which then brings about either remorse over things done or regret over things left undone. And wouldn't we all agree that the need for forgiveness is universal? I mean, anyone here today struggling with any remorse or regret? I personally have a harder time with regrets, so it's a word that actually surfaces sometimes in our family conversations, as our now young adult children are lovingly trying to encourage me to keep perspective. We actually say regret with an A because of this comedy that has a teenager with a tattoo that says no regrets with an A. And the adult is saying, really? No regrets? Not even one letter? A movie that illustrates really well the power of guilt to bring about regret is the 1990s movie titled Cliffhanger, starring Sylvester Stallone. The central character, Gabe Walker, is a park ranger in a remote part of the Rocky Mountains where people do a lot of rock climbing. And one of his primary responsibilities is to rescue those who get stuck or hurt or lost. In the opening scene, a friend of Walker's has taken a girlfriend rock climbing so high that the two of them have indeed gotten stuck, and during the rescue attempt, things go bad, and Walker is actually holding the hand of his friend's girlfriend as she slips away, falling hundreds of feet to her death, and the guilt he feels over that literally destroys his life. In fact, everyone who took part in the rescue attempt suffered from this nagging guilt and regret, and everyone dealt with it differently. Walker's friend dealt with it by just blaming Walker and nursing the anger that he had toward him. Walker tried to avoid it altogether by moving away, leaving his job, his girlfriend, and the life he loved, trying to get away from the guilt. Of course, the movie ends on a happy note when Sylvester Stallone comes back to save the day and is reunited with those that he loves. But not everyone with that kind of guilt experiences a happy Hollywood ending, do they? Perhaps you know someone whose life has been snuffed out due to the remorse they feel over things done or the regret they feel over things left undone. Certainly, it's been my experience in parish ministry that guilt and shame stemming from remorse and regret are leading causes of depression and alcoholism and all sorts of emotional and social problems. And most families have someone who is struggling because of it. And here it's probably important to differentiate between what we might call good guilt versus bad guilt. Bad guilt is when someone tries to manipulate you by making you feel bad in order to get you to do something they want you to do. For example, I often explain to young couples in premarital sessions that loving family members can sometimes really pour on guilt during the holidays and special occasions. In fact, I've known some grandparents who love their grandchildren so much and therefore want to see them and be with them, but they end up making their children feel horrible and guilty about visiting the other side of the family as well. That's bad guilt. Good guilt, on the other hand, comes when the Holy Spirit of God convicts us of our wrongdoing. And that's a good thing, because that kind of guilt can be to the soul what physical pain can be to the body. So the first thing we must do when we feel guilt is determine where it's coming from. Am I failing to live up to an expectation that another person has on me, or am I indeed failing to live up to an expectation that God has on me? And once we've made that distinction, we must then decide, of course, how we're going to deal with it. How are we to deal with the guilt feelings associated with failing to live up to God's moral standard? Again, we have to remember that feeling guilty over things done and left undone can be helpful in as much as it can serve as a kind of moral compass for our lives. In other words, in the same way that physical pain keeps us from placing our hands on a hot stove, so can the pain of emotional guilt help to steer us away from doing things we ought not do. Because we don't like to feel guilty, do we? Any more than we like how it feels to place our hand on a hot stove, which is why we do any number of things to distract ourselves from those feelings of guilt. One very popular way is complete avoidance, like the character in the movie illustration, to just not deal with those feelings, really. Some people avoid such guilt by either numbing their feelings or just staying so busy that they don't have to feel their feelings. Another way is to rationalize by telling yourself things like, well, I maybe shouldn't have done that, but I'm not as bad as most people I know. Or, yeah, that might have been mean, but it'll do them some good. And arguably, the most popular way to deal with guilt is what? To blame someone or something else. As my wife has said to me more times than I care to count, I should have known that I'd be the one to blame for that. And the thing is, all of our attempts at avoidance or rationalizations or blaming others may appear to be bargain counter ways to get rid of the guilt, but they're not. They're just temporary cover-ups. And ultimately, it's like putting a Band-Aid on a severed artery because the guilt is still there. And all it takes is a song on the radio, scene in the movie, passage in a novel, or a chance meeting, and the guilt bursts forth. All of which is to say that we can't get rid of the guilt that we all very naturally feel by merely pretending that it's not there or covering it up. And guilt is the cancer of the soul, and it can take the life right out of you, which is why Jesus said, unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you have no life within you. But he also said, whoever feeds on my flesh and drinks my blood has eternal life. Which is to say, when forgiveness, as opposed to avoidance or rationalizations or blaming others, when honest to goodness forgiveness covers guilt that is honestly confronted, then you can begin to live. Perhaps as maybe never before. I wonder how many marriages fail every day because guilt isn't forgiven. Because someone is either unwilling to ask for forgiveness or extend it to another. Incidentally, when you knowingly sin against someone, please don't just say you're sorry. Say you're sorry when you make a mistake, like when you bump into someone in the checkout line. But when you knowingly do someone wrong and you want to get right with that person, ask for their forgiveness. If you think about it, doing so makes you appropriately vulnerable, for it puts the ball in their court. I am sorry is a statement. Will you please forgive me is a question. Make no mistake about it, a guilty conscience is serious business, and trying to avoid it is a high price to pay. Do you have a guilty conscience today? If so, thanks be to God. Now let him deal with it. Lay your guilt at the foot of Jesus' cross. Deal with it today when you come up to receive the blood of Christ and the bread of life, and digest his forgiveness. I'm not okay, and you're not okay, and that's okay. Because God has already dealt with the sins of the whole world through Jesus Christ, our Savior. Amen.
You've been listening to audio from the Cathedral Church of the Advent. If you live in Birmingham or find yourself visiting, we hope you will join us at one of our Sunday services. Find out more at adventbirmingham.org.